Should some patients remain on dual antiplatelet therapy beyond 1 year after multivessel PCI? Find out about this and more in today's PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP Medical Director, Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you today from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. A major study published in the New England Journal of Medicine may change how long some patients remain on dual platelet therapy following coronary stent placement. Current practice often limits dual antiplatelet therapy, or DAPT, to about 1 year after percutaneous coronary intervention, or PCI. However, investigators asked whether patients with multivessel coronary artery disease who remained at particularly high risk for future cardiovascular events might benefit from extending treatment. In a randomized trial, more than 7,000 patients who had undergone multivessel PCI and completed 1 year of uneventful DAPT were assigned either to continual dual therapy or transition to aspirin alone. Patients who remained on DAPT experienced significantly fewer cardiovascular events, including heart attack and ischemic stroke, without a significant increase in fatal or intracranial bleeding. The findings suggest that a one-size-fits-all approach to stopping DAPT at 12 months may not be appropriate for every patient. Instead, clinicians may want to consider individual ischemic and bleeding risks before discontinuing therapy. While treatment decisions should remain personalized, this study provides important new evidence supporting longer duration DAPT for carefully selected patients with multivessel coronary disease. In our next story, we learned that maintenance lenalidomide has significantly improved outcomes for patients with multiple myeloma, but clinicians have long debated how long treatment should continue. A new study published in the New England Journal of Medicine helps answer one of the field's longest-running questions. Researchers evaluated patients with newly diagnosed multiple myeloma who had received maintenance lenalidomide following autologous stem cell transplantation. Patients were randomized to either stop treatment after a fixed duration or continue maintenance therapy until disease progression. Patients who continued lenalidomide experienced longer progression-free survival, confirming an ongoing benefit for extended therapy. However, the study also identified a subgroup of patients with sustained minimal residual disease negativity who appeared to have excellent outcomes even after discontinuing treatment. The findings reinforced the value of maintenance therapy for most patients, while suggesting that MRD testing may eventually help identify individuals who can safely stop treatment. As MRD-guided care continues to evolve, this study represents another step towards more personalized management of multiple myeloma. Next, a new phase 3 trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine may further change the treatment landscape for patients with resected ALK-positive non-small cell lung cancer. Researchers evaluated ensartinib as an adjuvant therapy following complete surgical resection in patients with early-stage ALK-positive disease. Compared with placebo, patients receiving ensartinib experienced a dramatic improvement in disease-free survival, substantially reducing the risk of cancer recurrence. While overall survival data are still maturing, the findings add to growing evidence that targeted therapies can improve outcomes when used earlier in the course of disease rather than waiting until cancer returns. Perhaps the broader message extends beyond the drug itself. These results underscore the importance of comprehensive biomarker testing in patients with resected non-small cell lung cancer. Without identifying an ALK rearrangement, eligible patients cannot benefit from highly effective targeted therapies. As precision oncology continues to advance, molecular testing is becoming an essential component of curative intent lung cancer care. And finally, a new study published in The Lancet Gastroenterology and Hepatology offers both encouraging and cautionary news for clinicians treating metabolic dysfunction-associated steatohepatitis, or MASH. Investigators evaluated whether combining the investigational fibroblast growth factor analog zelfermin with semaglutide would improve liver fibrosis in patients with compensated MASH-related cirrhosis. Although the combination was safe, it did not produce a statistically significant improvement in fibrosis compared with placebo, meaning the study did not meet its primary endpoint. However, the trial also reinforced something clinicians have been seeing across multiple studies. Patients receiving semaglutide alone demonstrate encouraging improvements in liver disease, adding to growing evidence that GLP-1 receptor agonists may play an important role in treating advanced MASH. While combination therapy will require additional investigation, the study suggests that semaglutide continues to emerge as one of the most promising therapies in the field. For hepatologists and clinicians managing obesity-related liver disease, the overall direction remains encouraging despite this disappointing combination trial. And that's today's medical news. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PureDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PureDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PureDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Dion, Miriam Gomez, and Bryce Sadie for production assistance. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.